Akitata straightened up and stretched his tall, lanky frame wearily. He had spent the best part of this beautiful spring day bent over dusty dossiers in his office in the Ministry of Justice. With a sigh, he rinsed out his brush and reached for his seal. Across the room, his secretary Seimei rose to his feet.
"Shall I bring the case of the Issei Shrine versus Lord Tomo next?" he asked eagerly.
Seimei was over 60 and deceptively frail-looking, with his nearly white hair and a thin mustache and goatee. Akitata marveled, not for the first time, that his old friend seemed to be positively thriving on this tedious work. Seimei was the only one left of the family retainers of the Sugawara family. He had risen in the household, by his own effort and Akitata's father's encouragement, to become steward and clerk. When his master had died, leaving behind a sadly diminished estate, a widow, two daughters, and a minor son, Seimei had looked after all of them devotedly until Akitata had finished his education and gained his first government position. Recently, after Akitata's promotion to senior judicial clerk in the ministry, his young master had chosen him as his personal secretary.
"Must you?" Akitata sighed. "I have been cooped up with these documents for upward of too long, and I don't think I can bear another minute of it."
"The path of duty is near, but man seeks it in what is remote," Seimei remarked primly. He was much given to sententious sayings. "Even the ocean has grown a drop at a time. As Master Kung says, serving His Majesty must be your first duty."
But seeing Akitata's drawn face, he relented.
"A brief rest is what you need. I shall brew some tea."
They had acquired the taste for tea only recently, and the herb was prohibitively expensive, but Akitata found it more refreshing than wine, and Seimei swore by its medicinal properties. When the older man returned with two cups and a steaming pot, Akitata was pacing the floor. Outside, a bird was singing.
"I wonder," Akitata said, listening wistfully, "if we could not find the time to ride out into the mountains."
He accepted a cup of tea and drank thirstily.
"I thought we might visit the Nina Temple."
"Ah, a strange story, that one," Seimei said with a nod. "It's been several weeks now, and people haven't stopped talking about it yet. I am told the emperor himself went to visit the place and inscribed the plaque with his august sentiments. It is said that Prince Yoakira was instantly transported into Buddhahood through the fervency of his prayers. Now people are streaming to the temple praying for miracles."
"And, of course, the temple has benefited from their contributions," Akitata remarked dryly. Seimei gave his master a sharp look.
"Of course," he said, "but there is also some talk about demons devouring his body. They say he had many warnings from the soothsayers lately."
"Miracles. Demons. Ridiculous. There should have been a thorough investigation."
"There was. The prince arrived with a small party of friends and retainers and entered the shrine alone by its only door. He chanted for an hour while his companions sat outside, waiting and watching the door. When he finished his devotions but did not come out, his closest friends went in together. They found nothing but his robe. The monks were called, and later the police and the imperial guards. All of them searched the temple and its surroundings for days without finding a trace of the prince. Finally, the monks petitioned that the emperor acknowledge a miracle, and so he did."
"Nevertheless, I don't believe it." Akitata pulled his earlobe, frowning. "There must be an explanation. I wonder if..."
Suddenly, a shouting match erupted outside the ministry.
"That sounds like Torah."
Akitata was at the door to the veranda in a few strides, Seimei right behind him. In the courtyard, two men were facing each other threateningly. One was small, still in his 20s, with a weak face not markedly improved by a mustache, and dressed in the shimmering silk and the formal lacquered headgear of a court official. The other was not much older, tall and muscular, handsome, but dressed in a plain cotton shirt and trousers. The courtier was advancing, his wooden baton raised to strike, when the other said in a dangerously low voice, If you touch me with that toothpick, puppy, I'll shove it down your throat and stop that nasty mouth of yours for good.
The official paused uncertainly. Flushed, he sputtered with rage.
You would not dare.
The tall man bared a handsome set of teeth and took a step toward him. The courtier retreated several feet and looked about for help. His eyes fell on Akitada and Seimei, who had stepped up to the balustrade of the veranda.
What is the matter, Tora?
Akitada asked the former highwayman, who was now his houseman. The tall young man turned.
Oh, there you are. He waved to them with a grin. We sort of collided at the corner, me being in a hurry and him not looking where he was going. I said I was sorry, but the pretty boy threw a temper tantrum, called me names, and wanted to hit me with his toy.
Is that uncouth savage your servant?
The stranger demanded in a voice trembling with fury.
Yes. Were you injured in the encounter?
It is a miracle I was not. I demand that you punish this person immediately and forbid him to enter the imperial enclosure in the future. He is clearly unable to recognize his betters.
Did he not apologize? Akitada asked.
What does that signify? If you do not do as I ask, I shall have to call the guard from the gate.
Perhaps we should discuss the matter further. By the way, my name is Sugawara Akitada. May I know yours?
The little man drew himself up importantly and recited,
Okura Yoshifiro, Secretary in the Bureau of Ranks, Ministry of Ceremonial, Junior 7th Rank, Lower Grade. I am on my way to speak to the minister and have no time to waste with minor officials.
Akitada raised his heavy brows. His normally pleasant, narrow, aristocratic face assumed a haughty expression. In that case, you may wish to discuss the matter with Counselor Fujiwara Motosuke, a member of the Council of State. He is by way of being a special friend to Tora and myself, and will vouch for us.